of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida. It is Tuesday, March 2nd. We are already almost with the first quarter of 2021 over with. And I am joined today by the very funny and lovely Luz Mazos is here with me.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
I am good. I got a lot going on. I had a lot going on. And part of me is thankful, A, I was working, so I'm not going to complain. But it was not without its trials and tribulations on the last road gig, which I'll share with you today. And also was going to be joining us was going to be Mr. CJ Starr, who was unable to attend our show a couple weeks ago because he lives in the Houston area and had no power. And so he missed it. Jen Hellman stepped in. Great. And then now Mr. CJ Starr seems to be full of excuses. he's getting food for the family. God bless. And listen, does anything ever go smooth anymore?
No, I don't think. Everything is very improvised. Have you seen the Golden Globes? Something like that. It's great.
I think you may be the only person who watched the Golden Globes.
Really? I saw it. My boyfriend wanted to see it. That's okay. But it was amusing. I got to see the inside of celebrities' home and found out they have a terrible taste. And they buy IKEA shit like us. So it's pretty cool. But it was very disorganized. So I feel like it's the new normal.
They said that a lot of people had some weird interviews at home. They're like a couple people were just like incoherent.
I don't remember his last name. The actor, he was high as fuck. And he won the Emmy. He couldn't.
Yeah, the risk of doing it from the home. You know what I'm saying? Why would you don't have to shower? And see, the minute you don't shower or have to brush your teeth to do something, the discipline will go out the window. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Some people are wearing sweatshirts. I mean, sweatshirts when you're about to get a Golden Globe. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess they didn't have a red carpet. But I understand that it was the worst ratings that could possibly ever been with an award show. Who's got time? These award shows to me are horse shit. You know, enough of this nonsense with these, I'm going to share the video, with these actors. Like, do you really give a shit, Luz, what actors think and say or political? Do you really care about their perspectives?
Not at all. I think that actors are, I mean, I don't want to be mean, but I'm not that smart for the most, there are some that are very smart, but they're very focused on themselves, how they look, what they feel. So I really don't care, especially because I used to work at a restaurant where famous actors go to eat. And there are some that are really great people, but for the most, some of them that are very active and they in social issues are bitchy. So I'm like, what the fuck? You know, you're an asshole. And then you're going to go on TV and say you support immigration. Give me a break.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I support those folks, but I care nothing about the person right next to me. I care nothing. You know, I mentioned this on the show before once. I have a friend of mine who's in the business and stuff. And he's always talking about, God loves and people and save the animals and the icebergs and global warming and all this shit. And then we're driving one day and we got something to eat and he opens the window and throws the paper out the window from his straw, the paper. I go, dude, all that shit you're talking about, and then this is, it's like, what they call it? The terminology that we got in 2020 was virtual signaling, like your virtue signaling, like you're trying to act like you actually give a shit. You're trying to act like you care about the world, but deep down inside, you don't care.
Yeah, people that talk too much, they don't care. You know, just do something about it if you care,
Yeah, right. I always found that the people who are really concerned don't talk about it. They just do stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have clients in my other practice of my business where they donate a shitload of money. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about their money they donate. They just do it.
Yeah. Today I live in Los Angeles and I drove by with my boyfriend. We were like around Beverly Hills and there is a children's hospital. It's called Steven Spielberg Children's Hospital. And whatever, his name is outside, but at least he donated a shitload of money. I knew, nobody knew, I didn't know. I don't think he's thinking about it. So yeah, do something nice. Don't brag about it and just be.
Sometimes people say what really wealthy people don't do it because they care. They do it because it's a big tax break. And I say, who gives a shit? You know, the fact that they're doing what they're doing and being able to do it, you know what I mean? Let them do it. At least they're doing it. You know, I just lose respect for people who talk about, you know, doing something like comedy. You know, like how many people, you know, that say, I'm funny. I really want to try doing comedy. We'll go up and do it. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, don't talk about it. You know, don't talk about this shit. Like, I always wanted to do comedy, you know, before I did it. You know, I was like, but I didn't go to comedy shows and go, you know, I'm going to go up there. You know, what do I got to do? You know?
Or comedians that say, no, I'm going to be very funny. I'm going to do this. You know, you will see in a couple of years. I'm like, dude, just do something.
Yeah.
You
know? Good luck with that. We had a guy at Little Rock, big guy sitting in the front, a real obnoxious dude. And he was like, I'm going to be the next Chris Farley and this and that. And then the guy is I'm in the office of the club because the place sold out. And the guy sees it, comes over. It's like, dude, you are awesome. He's like, give me some advice. Give me some advice. I'm like, respect the profession. Well, what does that mean? Like, well, I'm here. I want to chill. I don't want to be sitting here with you breathing down on me in this little office, you know, in this COVID infested, you know, just go watch the show. Shut the fuck up, you know? Like, you know, if you really care to be, if you want to be a comedian, then respect the art and practice. And after the show, you know, hey, here's my card. Can I contact you from the guy goes like this to me after you bought one of my t-shirts. And he's like, hey man, thanks. I'm going to buy a t-shirt. Okay. I'm like, good. $20. Here's a t-shirt. He goes, okay. Can you give me some advice? And I go, my advice is a lot more than $20, dude.
That's what you said.
Don't be fucking, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, by the way, at some point, CJ Starr will be joining us. You know, I'm worried because, like, I'm hungry as shit. And if I had to go get food for my family and I brought it back, I might forget. The food aspect,
yeah.
This is the stage of life I'm at, okay? I could be, a naked woman could be laying on my bed or laying in my bed. And I would come home and look and I'd say, oh, is there prosciutto in the refrigerator? You know, I wouldn't. I don't give a shit anymore. You know what I mean?
I love food, but I am more concerned about how much your life sucks when you have kids waiting for you at home to be fed. I don't envy his life at all, right? I can be here on time because I'm sick. I don't have shit to do, but this guy has to go out and get food for his family. That's pretty crazy to me.
I know. Listen, I don't have any children, you know, and it's part of one of my new bits I do now, but and especially this year, kids are suffering in this pandemic. No school. They're depressed. You know what I mean? And you're right. You know, there's something great about being able to look. Like one of the things I'm doing is like no education. I'm not worried about the cost of education.
Exactly. No, to me it's funny that before the pandemic, when the pandemic started, people were like, oh, now I can get to spend quality time with my kid. And 3 months later, they were all pissed. Why aren't they back to school yet?
There's no bastard.
Out of the hair.
Yeah. you don't have any kids, right?
No, I'm Latina, but zero.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a phenomenon.
That is. Boy, you should be a spokesperson for like a birth control.
Birth control, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look at me, I've never had any children. I use...
I just
no one believes that. Come on, that's me. I'm old, you know what I mean? And no one gives a shit. By the way, before I go any further, I want to say, boy, we lost a great comedian last week, and a friend of mine. I've known him, got to work with him. A Florida comedian, easily titled one of the, like, he'll go down in history for those who knew him as one of those comics you would never want to follow.
Exactly. That's the guy. Nobody ever wanted to follow Eric Myers.
No.
And, I followed him once, so I was.
And this guy, you know, you're great when, even if somebody was to take your entire act and do it and try to do everything you wrote down, it would not work for you. It's like magic, you know, when like somebody tries to steal another witch's broom and they try to fly away on it and they can't. That's his act. You can't fly away on his jokes. They're there for him. They were for him only, man. And, you know, and tragic story, but he knows him, knows what he's been through, the demons he dealt with. But this guy was a one in a million, like, what, the talent you know, that would just, you know, and it's so hard to see that happen when somebody's so talented and has to deal with all those challenges, you know, and it's just so heartbreaking to see a guy die he's 40. It was a few days before his birthday.
Yeah. So, his dad died a few weeks before. So I think he was going bad. I'm guessing he was on drugs again. He had a relapse.
Yeah. Some people ask what he was doing on the, you know, walking. I mean, you know, I know sometimes people who are dealing with that can't sleep. So they'll just go and walk and, you know, who knows? And we weren't, you know, but it reminds me of my oldest brother passed in April of 2003. He was 46. And then my father passed away 4 months later at 76. And that's a real, it's, you know, two deaths in one year, barely in one quarter of the year. It's just terrible. So, you know, it's just amazing how a guy like that, I can still hear his voice. Yeah, I can still hear him telling jokes in my head. And if you're watching the show, if you never watch it, just Google Eric Myers, M-Y-E-R-S, and be sure to catch
Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Joke.
I worked with him one time, and I used to do this bit about merch. And I used to say, you know, now I'm going to sell cock rings, you know, and I'm like, they come in three sizes. I forgot the joke, but anyway, it was a joke. And then he was doing a similar joke about condoms. I'm like, well, I'm not going to do my joke anymore. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, dude. And then, so just rest in peace, my friend, and stay well. And I'll always remember the kid. I think I can always remember him.
And you know what I like about him? He was one of those comedians that never talk about how funny he is or anything. He was really funny. He was, you know, he owned it. He didn't need to brag about anything. He was a real comedian, you know?
Yeah, great point.
I follow him, you know? The last time I saw Eric was in San Francisco, and I got to follow him. And I was so scared. I was like, fuck everyone. You know, because they give him a guest spot. I was headlining this show, and it's like, why do I have to follow Eric? I was so scared. It was hard to follow him, but I did it once because I was freaking out.
Yeah. Now, he was doing a guest spot, you said?
Yeah, he was doing like a guest spot, 10 minutes. They put in before me. And I was, at this point, he should headline this. I don't want to headline this shit anymore.
Right. No, that's always weird when they do that, because clubs will do that. Now, they probably didn't want to put him in front of the feature, because the feature would have never, it would have probably ate it. So they had to give it to you before you. I remember one time I was working at a club in Florida, and I was featuring, and then Craig Gass showed up. And then the booker goes, you want him to go up after you? I mean, before you, or you want to have him go up after you? I'm like, put him up after me. You know what I mean? I mean, this is several years ago. Yeah. And then especially with 10 minutes, in 10 minutes, they can come and crush a 10 minute set. If you're a killer, oh my God, that's the choice spot.
I was like, oh God, I knew it was going to happen. I had a really hard time following him, but I did better than I thought I was going to do, but it was pretty hard. But when I saw him, I said, fuck you, Eric, what are you doing? You're going to make my life hell.
I think sometimes clubs will do it. I know, I remember the first time I featured really for Bonkers, not the first time, one of the first times I did, they sent out one of their headliners to come out and do the same thing, just to, you know, to push you, see if you can handle it, you know? And, but that's the thing, you know, a lot of comics want to be headliners, but it's not just the time. It's not just saying I could do 45 minutes. It's not, you know, it's being able to handle anything, you know? You know, for some, like this weekend in Little Rock, the crowds were a certain way, and I did a little more crowd work than I normally would. And, you know, and it's not going to hurt anybody. And sometimes other headlines are like, hey man, you know, I would appreciate it if you didn't do so much crowd work. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. But I work with Tim Gaitner, and he didn't give a shit. He just basically tagged everything I did. You know, he just added to whatever it was, because he followed it. That's a headliner. That's a guy. That's a person with experience and the ability to do it. So, you know, you ever known another fellow comic to rush it, to try to get ahead of the line a little bit and maybe push it too much and it backfire?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I see it happening all the time in LA, especially, you know, people think they can do everything. Like, I don't Honestly, I don't put myself like I want a headline, but when they offer me, I take it because I don't want to say I'm chickening out, you know? I'm going to do it, okay? I'm showing up and doing the job. But I mostly prefer to feature, especially in some places, you know, when I know it's going to be a tough crowd. I don't want to overextend myself. So I don't propose myself as a headliner for the as the first thing. But when they propose me, I say, okay, I'm going to do it. But that being said, I know a lot of people that just after 2 years in a stand-up, they're headlining. After a year, they're like headlining. And the thing is, they're used to do some bringer shows where all their friends come.
Right.
They think they're killing it. And then they go to these real shows to headline and they have a hard time. So, you know, it's easy for them later to back off because you feel it. Some people never feel it. Some people can be bombing for hours and think they are still funny, or people have to listen to them.
Isn't that funny?
Hey guys,
I mean,
yeah.
We got CJ here. I'm letting him in.
CJ's in. All right, cool. CJ's made it. And but you're right. It's when it happens, you know, it's really embarrassing too, because then you watch the people after it happens, and you're like, they just sit there, and they're like, you don't want to say anything. Welcome, my friend. There he is, Mr. Texas.
This is a better background, right?
Much better background, especially the bottle of wine, which is getting me thirsty. Hold on a second. I need to. It's a cheap Mexican beer.
Cortez. Yeah, I wouldn't try that.
It's like drinking grape knee-high beer. Welcome to the show, buddy. Actually, as you jump in, we're talking about headliners, which, by the way, congratulations. One of the last times you and I were together at CJ was when we did the triple feature for the Looney Bins, and I see they pushed you to headline. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're talking about, you know, what it's like. We talked about the passing of Eric Myers, who was a beast on stage.
Oh yeah.
And and Luz was sharing with us how she had to follow him one time.
Yeah.
Oh, was she following him on stage or just following him around?
His car. Have you ever worked with Eric?
Yeah, a while back. I was the host, and he was the headliner. So it was one of them things where I was a very strong host, and we had a good feature and everything. But Eric was a beast, man. I really hate that he was taken from us way too soon.
Yeah, a tragic story. But you know, anything that you would say towards, how'd you say, like towards following somebody, like, you know, any, you know, 'cause we talked about this not too long ago, and it's that transition period, right? Like sometimes it doesn't even have to just be somebody who's just crushing, but somebody who's really high paced or something. 'Cause I don't think any of us, if I remember, CJ, probably the most you're probably the more high paced comic here on the screen right now. I think I'm a little more laid back. Luz is, I think, laid back, but you're a little more más despacio, no? Mm-hmm. Más despacio, Luz.
Despacito. No, yeah, definitely. You know what? Following people, I have a problem when they are a new comics and they start doing a lot of jokes that are sexual, but they are not funny. That's something that bothers me, because you can do a lot of sexual jokes, but they have to be funny. Or when there are girls and they talk about taking it in the ass, and it's not funny. It's just because if thing is funny because people are talking about that, what I do after I follow them and I talk shit about them, just because it really annoys me.
Yeah.
Especially
like, when you get to the jokes.
It's just a woman, you can talk about anything, but just make it funny to be worth it, you know, for you to be talking about these things.
Yeah.
I can assure you that CJ and I don't talk about jokes about taking it in the ass. Right?
Well, you haven't heard my new 10 minutes. I definitely understand. I always like to think that hopefully the not only the like promoters or anything, but also the comics would know about, you know, the continuity of the show and how you want it to flow. Like, I've been on shows before where it was just like, I've been on shows actually where they wanted to pause and put music and everything else like that. I'm like, that's just killing the show.
Dude, I love, especially when I produce a show and they said, we'd like to have an intermission. I go, I will not produce a show with a comedic intermission.
Look, there's an intermission. Let's go ahead and find somebody that's not that funny.
Yeah. that's like interrupting your sexual, like you're making love to your significant other and you say, wait a minute, let me stop, let's go have a sandwich, and come back.
That's not normal. That's foreplay.
You gotta eat it while you're having sex.
Do you remember the show we had in Miami that they have an intermission?
Yes, that was when you and I opened for you there in Miami.
That was terrible. I hated the intermission,
I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they do it.
But I have had a show that it's been a while, but I had a show that was very hard to follow. It was funny. The young lady was like, why does he get to go after me at this time? And then people were like, he's been doing it longer and blah, blah, blah. And I was just looking at her like, I mean, what's the big deal about what order it goes in, And she had a lot of fans there. And I did not do well. I will go ahead and admit that I did not do well. And it was just an urban show. And it was like the host was, it was crazy, not to ever blame it. The host pretty much talked about me after the fact. This was about 6 years ago, but he talked about me after the fact and was just like, he has too many jokes that are this, that. And it was just, I was like, oh my goodness, and then she went up and killed.
Oh, let's talk about men, okay? Because a couple of years ago, some guys will tell, I had an example of the show. A friend said, okay, you're going to feature, Luz is going to go after you to comedian. And he was like, are you sure you want Luz to follow me? Like, really, in front of me? I'm like, dude, I can follow you totally. But it's just how people are, like, there to tell that things in front. And they get intimidated by a girl, which is the worst thing. Guys, sometimes when they're weak like that, pieces of shit. No, I'm just kidding. But still, don't say it in front of the person, right? Like, say it inside to the guy. Hey, don't put loose in front of me. What are you thinking? And by the way, I totally follow that guy, but he was just being a dick because he felt short that I was following him.
Just be a little more discreet about it. In other words, just go to the guy and say, hey, are you really sure that you want to have this person follow me? You're right. I just don't like the cockiness of it. Like, if I'm ever in that situation where I know that that's what's great about featuring, because you just come out and destroy. It's up to the headliner to follow. You're not going to be pressed, as long as you stick to your time, which is important. Don't go over and then crush, because then you're just being an asshole. But just crush and then that's it. And that's all. You don't have to worry about nothing else.
But in Dallas, man, we have that a lot where people, like when, if a big time headliner comes in or everything, that they feel that they need to, as a feature, like when they tell us to feature for them, some of them feel that they should hold back. And I've worked with Tommy Davidson and all them, and they've never told me to hold back. Never. And then one of the funniest ones is Damon Wayans said, I said, is there anything you want me not to talk about? You want me not to do this, that? And he said, yeah, I do. I want you to be funny. That's what I want you to be. I want you to be funny. Can you do that? And I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, go out there for 35 to 40 minutes. It's just me and you. Be funny. And he's like, set me up nicely. And I was like, that's the best I've ever felt, because I have had some headliners that have been like, don't talk about this, don't talk about that, don't do this, don't do that. The rules of feature.
How aggravating is that? As the feature, we have to respect that. Go, no problem, whatever you want, and then be professional about it. So ultimately the club, but the problem is the people that usually make all those goddamn requests, they usually
aren't funny.
They aren't funny, and then they end up complaining shit about you, like, this and that. And then you're like, look, man, and I've had something happen in the past where I just looked at the guy and said, look, dude, just fucking just stop bitching and come out and, you know, don't tell me what to do. It was like three different things. They cut me one time and the guy told me not to tell a certain joke. Right. I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, that's my closer. You know what I mean? You want to use my setup to the closer? I'm like, well, you know, I think that it's, I go, dude, that's it. I'm going to do my fucking act. You do your act and let's just move on. You know, speaking of moving on, by the way, dude, you're in Houston. Not everybody knows my plight, but I flew from a perfectly beautiful state, Florida, a couple Wednesdays ago. Perfectly beautiful, 7 a.m, great flight, left sunny South Florida to head to Houston, your neck of the woods.
Houston's far from us. I'm in Dallas.
All right. Well, I go to Houston. Mm-hmm. I land in Houston, and then the minute I land, they cancel my flight, my connecting flight.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And then I'm sitting there, and I go, well, your next flight's at 8 o'clock. Me, I'm in a I'm in an airport with no water, no bathrooms. If I have to take a dump, I can't. I don't know what I'm like. What happens if I do? Where are you going to send me? Am I going to go out to the baggage claim? You know, can I go sit on the? Can I go take a shit on the bag? You know, like so. And then there was only one snack store. None of the restaurants are open. There's no water. So the snack store. So I'm getting Slim Jims and shit. You know, and then you get a call. I get to think. Oh, we bumped you down to 3:30. Want to get you out of there? Oh, thank God. I'm only going to be here. And then this lady comes up. They're closing the airport at 12. What? What am I going to go? Where am I going to go? So the moral of this story is maintain your calm, maintain, you know, keep your composure whenever dealing, because all I kept thinking was I'm going to get kicked to the street in Houston and it's cold as fuck out there and I got nowhere to go.
Did you fly in on Wednesday? Then they ended up canceling the show anyway.
Yeah, they canceled Wednesday in Oklahoma City. But so here I am. So now I'm at the airport and all I can think about is I need a car. Right, because I don't want to stay in Houston. There's no power. There's no water. Why would I want to stay there? I don't even want to be there. So, thank you, American Express Platinum Card Services, for finding.
So you rented a car.
You should have seen the panic in the baggage claim. These people are like trying to find all the rental car places are closed. There's no hotels. There's no power. People are going, where the fuck are we gonna go? They're trying to contact friends, and I'm sitting there like Cool Joe. You know, no big deal. Once I get my luggage, and I finally got with Amex, I said, "Yeah, we got you a car rental place. It's about 20 miles. I had to take $40 for an Uber, but so I rented an SUV. My wife's like, "Why'd you spend so much money on an SUV?" I go, "Did you want me to slide off the fucking road? You know, to save 50
So you drove from Houston to
from Houston to Oklahoma City.
Wow!
During all that wet, crappy weather. But I did stop in Waco because I was sliding off the road as the sun was going down Wednesday. And then I stopped. Thank God I found a hotel. Now I'm thinking, can I die if I leave the car running and I sleep in the car all night with the heater on?
You can.
I don't know. So, and I got there. So thank God, you know, it all mm-hmm. worked out. You know what I'm saying? But look at you. You know, you guys, you're busting pipes. Everybody in Texas has busting pipes. You know what I mean? The water freezes. Sometimes the water freezes and then it comes back on. One thing you learned, if it's that cold out, everybody, you got to keep your water running, right? They keep, keep your little trickle work going.
But it doesn't even matter because like what it is like they said, if it goes from freezing to expand, that's when they break, and it broke outside. And we're talking like one of my only weekends off and I'm sitting there, we just ate dinner. We're sitting there and my son goes, what's wrong with the pipe? He said, what's wrong with the water pressure? It was like barely trickling out. He said, that's turned on full blast. So we start trying stuff and we go outside. And I started thinking about the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, when the water, the crude was coming out, that's how the water was coming out the ground. And
Texas,
it's been, it's been messed up ever since. They came today and they said that they're going to fix it. But they had to wait till the UDIG comes and spray paints it. What's not gas, what's water and all that stuff. So been going to a hotel down the street, taking showers and got jugs of, look at this. We got jugs of water. That's for filling up the toilet to use the bathroom.
No joke.
So Yeah, but it's funny. And but the funny thing about it is, like, between this, I've been having shows out the ass. we've been having a lot of local shows because the these guys that's usually flying in can't fly in. So we've been doing the weekends at the improvs and everything. So I had a really good weekend a couple weekends ago. So, I mean, got to headline on a weekend at the improv, the world famous improv here in Dallas. So
good for you, man. Well done. Look, that sometimes, you know, bad for the other people. Good for you, man. You know?
Yep.
Take the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yep.
One of my favorite quotes is fortune favors the prepared mind. You know, and you have to be ready for that kind of shit.
I was talking about Fortune Fister. I was about to say she's on the new show that I'm watching.
Which one's that?
Keenan.
I don't think I've seen it.
Keenan from Saturday Night Live has his own show.
With what's his name? With the guy from Miami Vice.
Yeah. So that's his father-in-law. Fortune Fister is one of his coworkers, and she does sports, and she wears like a mullet. It's hilarious.
That's got to be. It's a great.
It's pretty funny.
I like Keenan.
I'm trying to give it a chance. It's really not as funny as The Rock, and not as funny as The Mayor. The Mayor right now is probably one of the funniest things on right now.
Well, shit, I got to watch all. I haven't seen any of those TV shows.
Well, you got to watch The Mayor. It's Ted Danson, and it's very funny.
Ted's awesome. Ted's awesome. Things that weren't awesome was Tiger Woods by the news coverage. You can talk about died in his crash.
Yeah.
Did you run him off the road, Luz, in California?
I feel like that's his life story, you know. He's always getting into some kind of weird situation. But he's okay, right? He's okay. That guy's never going to die.
I don't know. He came pretty close to death this time. he had this.
Go ahead, Cece.
No, I just said that he's had several surgeries already, but he's okay. You're right. He is okay. And the funny thing about it, I just took up golf again and not too long ago. And so I got a few comedians that we do it. We golf. And it's funny. We get a text message. I get a text message and they're like, uh-oh, Tiger. And we immediately start thinking, oh, is he on, you know, pain pills and alcohol again? Did he just leave the Waffle House
after banging the waitress?
Yeah,
they said he may have somebody saying that he may have fallen asleep at the wheel. That's what some one of the crash people recently I just read earlier today about that. You know, here's the weird thing about it. Like, everybody wants to find, like, you hear that and everybody's like, oh, was he this or was he that? You know, what was wrong with him? You know, everybody's ready to destroy the successful people. You know what I mean? Everybody, you know, like a guy like that, they're ready to destroy him when he was doing good. And he messed up with his girl, and the Bronco incident and the Escalade incident and cheating on her and shit, you know, and then he fell from grace, but he came back. You know, certain people don't come back from falling from grace, you know, like, you know, I used to have a joke like, who's fallen farther than Felix Baumgartner? Remember Felix Baumgartner? Felix Baumgartner. Baumgartner was the guy who jumped out of the Red Bull balloon that was up in the stratosphere, and he jumped out of the balloon wearing like an astronaut outfit, and he flew. He actually was the longest free fall, and that was right around the time Cosby got fucked up. And I said, "Well, Cosby fell from grace further, you know." he fell further than Bill the Baumgartner, Felix Baumgartner, and that's when Mel Gibson had all that shit. So he fell too. Lance Armstrong, remember, they took all his titles.
His balls.
Yeah, and one of his nuts. That was a parody song I was going to do from Oasis. You know, Wonderwall. You know, with only one ball. I'm not in a musical mood. So anyway, other stars in the news. Lady Gaga had her dogs napped, and I watched the video of her dog walker getting shot, and I thought it was a woman until I found out that it was a guy from the screams and. I mean, you know, I've been stabbed. I've never been shot. I've been shot at, but I've never been stabbed. I mean, I've been stabbed, but I've never been shot. So I couldn't, you know, sympathize with the pain, but I thought that was a woman.
Wait, have you been stabbed?
What's that?
Have you been stabbed?
Yes.
What?
Look, Wait a minute. Do that again.
Yeah.
Do that. Tell her to do that again.
Yeah, please do that a few hundred more times. Thank you.
Yeah, you can. Let's say something now.
Stay tuned. Yeah, I got a.
Wow.
I don't know if we're going to be able to see it.
How come? Burglary?
No. I'm pretty sure it's an ex-girl.
Some headliner told me to stop doing crowd work. this was like in my teenage days. I got hit with a throat, like a throwing knife, actually. It wasn't stabbed. It was more like I got stabbed with a knife.
So you were into a fight with a ninja? That's what I would say.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was in Miami, too. It was a big, like a young and like 8 or 9 people fighting. I would call it a gang fight, but I don't know if we were a gang as opposed to just a bunch of guys hanging out. And we got the guy through it, and I took it out of my arm and applied it to his body. And
Wow.
Why is this not a joke yet?
That's not a joke. I mean, that was my first experience of white privilege. I didn't say any time. I didn't get in trouble or anything.
They just probably wanted you to go to court and explain that how you got hit with a throwing star.
Yeah, one of those. It's actually a throwing knife, like a butterfly knife that went in two. It looked like a propeller. But enough about me. But they found Lady Gaga's dogs. And
yeah, I think there's something up with that, though.
It seems like it's a propaganda. Like somebody thought it was for like political, for gun control, things like that, to try to bring more emphasis on gun control.
I wanted to find a dog because I wanted $500,000.
Yeah, so this is why I think something's up with it, because they're saying that lady might not get the money.
Yeah.
What? That's unfair. Yeah. You said anyone, if you bought it, if you find it, I'm gonna give $500,000. She has to get that money.
Nope, I heard that they said that they're having issues. Of course, it'd always be a loophole.
Yeah. Oh no. We wanted you to actually find the dogs and
bring them back unharmed.
Yeah. Well, the dogs are okay, but I'm guessing the gentleman, dog walker.
He's okay too.
Is he okay?
See, yeah, that's he's the thing. Okay.
You know, you can get somebody to like, oh, I'm going to shoot you in the shoulder. You know, we'll cover your medical expenses and shit. You know, I won't shoot any arteries. I'll clip you on the upper part of your clip up here, shoulder or something, and then just go down, scream like a bitch. And make a big hysteria, make sure somebody's videoing it, and we'll capture it all for, you know, it's almost like the days when people had sex tapes, right? Now is that going to be the new fad now, is getting your dog nap tape?
Listen, I think I have this thing, this special camera outside my apartment, and the day that happened with Lady Gaga, the camera thing, because we have like a network between all the people that have the camera outside their house. They were like, the camera was pointing out in the direction of everything that happened. So I got to see what was happening as it was happening. So that being said, Beverly Hills, last Friday, I had a show in Beverly Hills. A friend put together a show, and they were just in front of the place where the show was. They were shooting.
Really?
Black guys, a gang was shooting people. So there were shootings 3 weeks ago too. So I'm telling you, this thing in Los Angeles, where rich people live, is happening so much. They're stealing things, shooting each other. I don't know what's happening, but it's becoming really dangerous.
Well, in New York as well, a lot of people in New York are talking about how dangerous the streets are after dark. Asian people are getting the shit kicked out of them all over the country right now. There's a lot of stories about Asians being hate crimed, you know, and listen, you know, hey, again, I don't want to get political, but that's what, you know, California, I'm surprised you're still there, Luz. I mean, I've known so many people that have left, went either to Austin, Texas, or to Florida. Like people are leaving New York and California in droves, and they're going to New York. I mean, they're going to Texas and they're going to Florida.
Yeah. Yes,
I was thinking about that. I've been going to Texas very frequently, once a month, at least. This month I'm going, in March I'm going twice for shows, but I like California, you know, I just like the weather. So I don't think I could do it. I don't think I could go and like don't have water or electricity. That's not gonna happen.
This is the first, listen, first of all, this is the first time this has happened.
I don't wanna be in Peru again.
Look, this is the first time it's happened. We usually have earthquakes now because of fracking. just come on down, bring your guns. You know, we're doing it big here.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Texas, you know, that's nothing. Look at all the fires and the fucking earthquakes and everything in California. This has been a buildup of shit. You know, now you got a governor who's a complete fucking idiot. And you know, you can't like that guy, right? You can't like that governor.
No.
Where? And California?
Yeah. I mean, the guy in Texas just said, we're opening the motherfucker up, bitch. Right. And you know, governor in Texas said, we're all open 100%. Well, let's go. Let's do it.
And everybody's here going, you know what? We'll open up if you can walk your ass through that door. Because he's in a wheelchair. but he between him and Ted Cruz, man, Texas is just, now, I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. We talked about that. You know, Ted Cruz is a character, and I know some law professionals and professors that know of him and his legalese, and he's a very smart man. To say the least, but to leave, like, he got a lot of crap for leaving while you guys were dealing with all that shit, and you weren't happy about that as a Texan.
I mean, I don't like him, but he just basically, my thing is, yes, you couldn't have done anything, but your job is to be, I mean, at least be there just in case some shit pops off, and to seriously just then lie about it. That's the main thing. Lying about it and saying like, oh no, I was just taking my kids down there and I was coming right back and I was doing this and I was doing that. But yes, yet he was at the CPAC this Sunday and goes, Orlando is beautiful, you know, and he goes, not as beautiful as Cancun, you know, trying to be funny. But, you know, that's the type of shit that'll get you hurt, man. They're just crazy.
Don't you think people are a little judgmental? Like I don't find that. I look at that, whether I lived here or not, I wouldn't give a shit. Like, I get it. It's like a captain staying on the ship, a sinking ship, right? You gotta maintain your position of honor or whatever. But I don't really give a shit about that. I mean,
my thing is this: I'd have much more respect for you if you just say, "Hey, I've had this planned already. I'm going out of town. There's nothing I could do. What I could do in Cancun, I could do in Texas, you know, let me do it." But to lie about it and say, no, I was just dropping them off, you know,
Let me ask you a question as I bear on responsibility, not as an individual, but as a people. Like, in other words, we as a society with all this cancel culture and all this overjudgment, this righteous judgment of people, have almost gotten to the point where it's like ridiculously overly judgmental. And that's what causes people to say stupid shit like that. Like, own up. Like, I've talked about this 1,000 times, you know, playing one thing about team sports. When you fuck up on a team, we'd be like, oh, my bad, man. My bad. Sorry. Right away. You know, let's move on. And there's not enough of that now because everybody's worried about being hung by put on the cross and crucified for whatever little stupid thing they do. Hey, I want to get into this subject, which is important I don't know how you guys with time. We started a little late, but there's a big thing about transgenders. Okay, in sports, like ladies transgenders, like, you know, as the only lady here in the room, Louis.
Thank you. I'm glad you're asking me. First of all, I'd like to say,
CJ is my beard, and but Louis, how would you feel if you're like a track star, and then you go out to the meet and you see this guy in women's clothes, you know, with shaved legs, and he's just outrunning everybody? Would you be pissed?
Listen, I see guys wearing women's clothes, and it's annoying that they are better on being women than women are. Number one, I just feel like they are so feminine and they are so into everything, and I'm like, oh my god, you're such a great woman. But at the same time, I find travestite men more delicate, empathetic and more like cheery than regular women and less bitchy.
Okay, but I gotta look, can I copycat off that? Look, I understand the looks. That's no problem about that. But I don't think it's fair if you are a female and you were born a female and you were trying to win a gold medal, and then a woman, someone that feels that they're a woman on the inside, which is, you know, that's cool, but you're not really a woman. I mean, you got man features. It's not fair because, you know, it's like you have superhuman strength.
But here's the thing, DJ, as logical and as much common sense as what you just said has, there are people that are on that fringe that would get mad at you for not recognizing that person biologically as a woman. And that's the big thing, because biologically, scientifically, legally, there's two sexes. I mean, then there's a hermaphrodite, right? Remember those pictures where the person has a vagina and a penis? You know, how lucky are they? And then
you're going to hell for that one, but go ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
People have their Special Olympics, you know, like.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know. It's hard.
So you're saying they should have transgender Olympics?
Yeah, just to be like, stop the debate. I feel like, you know, if you're born with a penis, it's going to be easier for you to super a woman physically because you have another type of strength. At the same time, what thing annoys me more is, for example, if you're a man and you become a woman, then you're in the market out for getting guys. And there are more women than men. So women, we have less possibilities now to settle down with a guy because they are extra women. You know, there are men that became women. So now women were more than you guys. So they're going to even be more women. And it's going to be crazy for us. Like, some women are going to be single forever. That's an issue for me.
We should video.
Well, then why don't you join this other team?
Why don't you switch and be a man?
No.
Look, I'm sorry. My ADD has me still thinking about your Olympics thing. It's like, dun, 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 dun. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. The Olympic rod goes into the ring, but it cuts it off. There's no more rod. It's just a ring. Yeah, that's actually great stuff. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's an MMA fighter who's beating the shit out of people. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, but that's what I'm saying. People look at that and get mad at you for saying that. And you're like, and this is the thing, you know, like, I think it's really weird how society wants us, there's like, expects people to interpret and handle things in a certain way. As a human, you are unpredictable in reaction. It's an ongoing thing. You know, you can't be expected to have a routine. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm going to act like this. You know what I mean? I can't expect religious people to say, oh, that's fine. You know, whatever. You know, I mean, most religious people I know that are truly religious and caring don't give a shit what your choices are. You know, whatever you do, you do. Right? I'm not going to tell you how to live. I'm not going to tell you how to do anything. But then don't tell me that when I see you, you know, 6 foot fucking nine, you know, on a girls' basketball team, like, get that fucking dude off the court, man. You know what I mean? Like, if my daughter's playing basketball and this big fucking dude chick slam dunks on my daughter, I'm going to go out there and knock him the fuck out. Like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to put on a dress.
That is definitely a hate crime, and you get more time. I'm just saying. Wow. I understand exactly what you're saying, but it seems like we have a different issue. I think we all have different issues. Our issue is being that it's hard for the people that are transgenders to be able to compete with other females because we don't feel that it's fair. And you feel that you can't compete with them sexually. Is that right, Liz? Is that what you were saying?
Yes, my issue is different. I feel like they're just taking power from us. But no, honestly, I feel like people are too weak nowadays. They just get sensitive for everything, especially white people. They should shut the fuck down and accept things as they are. Because, you know, there are places in the South that they still have bathrooms for the whites, for the blacks. Are you not going to acknowledge that you're full of shit? Like, stop pretending. You know, you had slaves. You treat people like shit for so many years. Can you just be a little bit more like aware of who you are and just deal with things in a nice way? I mean, you can't even joke about things anymore.
Yeah, but here's
I think that this is going to come back to haunt me. I think I'm going to go for president maybe in about 10 years. And this podcast is going to come back and they're going to be like, you agreed with Liz on this part. And I'm like, no, I did not. I did not.
Yes, you did. I saw your head. You were nodding your head. Yes. I was talking to my wife. I was ready for to eat the chicken. I was ready for dinner. He agrees. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, you can't, this cancel culture thing's amazing. And I just think that there's so many sinners out there to be judging. It's just gotten to the point where it's just gotten really ugly. Just like Mr. Potato Head. Now we can't call him Mr. Potato Head. It's just Potato Head. know, there's no more Mr. in the potato head. It is a piece of plastic. It has no, you know what I mean, with the shit you put on it.
Saying that, but they're still going to give you either a mustache or lips or red lipstick. Or, they, you know what? You're right. We're canceling people for bullshit. Like, there's so many times that me and my wife sit back and we watch a movie that was made in the 80s, 70s, 60s, whatever, that we're like, this could never be done again. Like Blazing Saddles. You know, I mean, just I sat there and watched the movie The Birds, the old movie The Birds.
Alfred
Hitchcock. They slapped that chick like three times in the movie. Every time she started getting hysterical, they'd slap her. And I'm like, they couldn't remake this movie the way.
There would be no slapping.
It's just so crazy how some of the things that we used to think were hilarious. You know, The Jerk, the movie The Jerk, White Chicks. People are in uproars about the movie White Chicks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
But where do you go from there? That's it. I mean, we have to come back around. It's gonna have to get to the point where you are, you know, once you see people judging you, you're gonna, hey, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let people be. Like, you know, the old saying, you know, sticks and stones. You know, like, I can't give you all my power. You know what I mean? I get it. I get how some things can flash you. Like, if I smell angel on a woman, it reminds me of one of my ex-girlfriends who messed with me. You know what I mean? And now if I smell angel, I'm like, oh, you know, it ruins my day. You know what I mean? But I can't call the makers of angel and say, you got to stop selling that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I got to fucking talk. Like, it's like raising a kid. You know, it's like anything. You got to teach them how to deal with shit, right? You have kids. Right, you got to have deal. If they don't deal with any adversity, they're going to be shit out of luck when they're adults. When they have a bunch of adversity, you know, parents like, oh, they try to keep their kids protected, and then when the shit starts happening, they're not prepared for it. All right. So, all that shit being said, I know you guys on a time frame. We did start a little late, but here's the thing. It's that time of the day where. The news is a joke, everybody. That's why we tell some stories and we try to make fun of it the best we can as comics. You guys ready?
Yes.
Miami lawyer whose pants caught fire during arson trial arrested on cocaine charge.
Arson trial? He got arrested on cocaine charge?
I mean, I don't know if he was freebasing at the same time. A Miami lawyer who drew worldwide notoriety after his pants caught on fire during an arson trial. This has happened in a separate trial, has been arrested on cocaine charges.
Okay, so it wasn't the same thing, right?
No.
Because
the same party that Eric Myers was the day. Was he at the same party with Eric?
Yeah, he was the one. Miami lawyer, World Night, Stephen Gutierrez, 32. He's pulled over Monday night near Westchester and arrested on a felony cocaine charge. I turned down cocaine. Wow. I turned down cocaine three times in the last 6 months. Last 6 weeks.
No way.
That means that you've been to Kansas and you've been to Oklahoma.
Daytona, Orlando. Yeah, easy, you know. Not much there. You know, it's one thing. Again, here's an attorney. Yeah, I know a lot of attorneys that do a lot of coke. But you know, these people are supposed to practice the law and stuff, and they're breaking it.
I'm from South America. We do it, and you guys consume it.
Yeah, Luz is happy with it. Keep doing all the cocaine. You keep my parents' lights on.
Yeah.
Cocaine's illegal.
Now, is that racist? Like in other words, like I watched this. We're talking about like Dr. Seuss is being taken out. The book's Dr. Seuss, and somebody posted on Facebook one of the pictures that's considered racist, and it's a Chinaman running with a bowl of noodles, you know, and his teeth. He's got the two fucking teeth and everything. I'm like, this is Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss takes that. It's caricatures of people. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? You know, I don't know a Chinese guy. Oh, that's a fucking bullshit. You know, they got a fucking Chinese guy. You know,
you're not supposed to say Chinaman.
It really wasn't racist till you did the teeth thing.
Yeah. Damn teeth. The Chinese teeth are racist. Let's move on to the next story. Pakistan police pop their rollerblades on to catch Karachi criminals. Now, have you ever seen a cop on rollerblades?
No, ever.
No.
Karachi, Pakistan. Police in Pakistan's largest city, Karachi, are deploying an armed rollerblading unit to curb the theft and harassment on its teeming streets. Well, if I'm stealing shit in Karachi, guess what? I'm just going to get a bunch of dirt and rock. That's the cops. Yeah.
I'm stealing everything and going straight to grass.
That's right. Well, there's no goddamn grass in Karachi. You're in Pakistan. It's all dirt and shit.
Pakistan.
Gliding in a circle with their weapons pointed inwards and lifting and lowering the guns in unison. Oh, they're synchronized load of doofuses. We felt we need to come up with an innovative approach to control street crime. What's that?
They're going to start doing competitions, synchronized dancing on the streets.
They're going to start doing the fucking Pakistani shuffle.
Like Bollywood dancing.
You ever rollerblade?
When I was a kid.
Yeah. Did you ever rollerblade, CJ?
No.
Did you ever roller skate? Did you ever roller skate?
As a kid, we roller skate.
Yeah.
I think we created rollerblading, except all of our wheels were on one skate. Couldn't afford two skates, so one person would get one skate and the other one would get the other.
Yeah, well, hold my leg up and push me. Yeah, I don't know how many criminals are going to catch with that. Here's another great story. Indian man killed by his own bird during a cockfight. This is a great story. So have you ever been to a cockfight, Luz, in Peru? You ever been to a Peruvian?
I've gone to different cockfights. We have a cockfight coliseum.
Yes.
I used to go. I have a friend that had a cock.
I have some friends.
Cock too many times now. Yeah.
She said, I had a friend who had a cock. Yeah,
just one cock.
Nothing special. I've got a few friends with cocks, by the way. So. But the guy brings his cock. Like, I've been in Mexico. I've seen that. Like, I've been in Mexico. I went to see cockfight. Like I had to leave because it was just too, and it's crazy. So they, you know, they put a knife on the fucking chicken.
Yeah.
So that when he goes in, they put a knife on there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So the chicken, I don't know what happened. The chicken wins. He's like, Daddy, I fucking won. And he goes, no, stay the fucking away from me. And he fucking stabs him right in his paws or his artery in his leg. Bleeds to death on the way to the hospital.
Yeah, it's very brutal, but at the same time,
is the cock doing time?
I wonder how many people are gonna be happy to see that cock arrive in prison. Hey, he's a killer cock. He's got a killer cock. There you go. This is a great story. Okay. I got the great story coming up. Have you ever, like, you know, when you go to the beach, you know, I don't know if you go in California, I don't know how much beach you're doing in Dallas, CJ. See, that's the thing. We got the Florida and California. We got water and beach. I mean, you don't even have water in your house, for God's sakes, except in buckets. But you know, when you go out on the beach, you usually go out there and you're sitting around there. Next thing you know, you're about a mile away from where you got in.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, you drift, right? Well, this guy, stranded day drinkers, discovered that beer air mattresses are not a good idea to float around in the Indian Ocean. While in Australia, these two guys got on one of those big rafts, those bed rafts, and thought they would drink, and next thing you know, they're in the Indian Ocean. Oh, shit. Hey, where's the land, man?
They deserve that.
Cubans should do that to come to America.
Yes. Yes.
All the way to Miami.
Yeah, which makes you wonder how come they... Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, she said that that's how they got here.
How'd you get here? A plane, asshole. Yeah, I do a joke. It makes you wonder how come the Cuban Olympic team never had the greatest crew team in history. Like, look,
the good ones are over here.
Yeah, there goes Carlos and Pepe.
Yeah.
They just won their 8th gold medal. They're not even in a boat, they're in a refrigerator box. It's amazing. They're not even using oars, using sample spoons from Baskin Robbins. Jackson Perry and Noah Palmer had taken an air mattress and cooler full of beer into the water in front of their ocean house located South Perth, Australia, West Coast. They intended to spend a day just relaxing on the water. Next thing you know, They were buoying in the Atlantic Ocean, in Indian Ocean, I should say. Indian Ocean, which is shark infested.
I would like to say fuck them for having a oceanfront house in Australia.
Yeah, that's what that happens when, see?
Yeah, that's what you get when you're a dick.
The meek shall inherit the earth, baby. The meek shall inherit the earth. And this story, you talk about racism, like you, like Luz, as a Hispanic woman, you know that within Hispanic culture there is racism within Hispanic culture, right? There's like Mexico, Peru, like, you know, in South America, like our family's from Spain, so we are the kings of Spain. Like we my ancestors fucked everybody in your country. You know, they you know what I mean? They planted their seed, the conquistadors, you know. And then, so even you look at that, I mean, years, my father's one time said, the Indian Spanish, you know, from Central America, you know, somebody, oh, the Indian Spanish, you know. It wasn't like he meant it like, oh, they're down here. It was just like, well, that's kind of what happened, right? Like the thing of cultures from a landmass. It's not so, but, oh, that's right. But there's a lot of that. Like you're Peruvian, right?
Yeah, we hate Chileans. We don't like them. Ecuadorians. Nobody likes Chileans, by the way. Or Argentinians. They're too stuck up.
Yes.
Venezuelans are immigrating a lot to Peru, and Peruvians are not liking Venezuelans very much, too. There's a whole thing going on there.
Yeah. So, CJ, do you, the people in Dallas don't like the people in Houston, I could tell, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Like we can do the Houston guys. We crack jokes and we go back and forth on the Houston people. But for some reason, Austin thinks they're a different breed.
Austin is a shit now, right? Like Austin, a lot of people is the hub now of comedy in Texas, right?
Yeah. You know, Joe Rogan's down there now, and Chappelle was here for a long, you know, for a while. But I think Joe Rogan's thinking about actually opening a club here. In Austin. So he's always wanted to open a comedy club, but he didn't want to go against the ones in LA. So he does that. Hey, what clubs do you do when you're down here? Luis?
Hyenas.
Oh yeah?
Then I do, well, in Austin I don't like theaters, like other spaces in San Antonio. I don't theaters in San Antonio too, because I come for festivals and things.
Was you down here doing the Red Room not too long ago?
Yes, I was there doing the Red Room. Like a
you couple. Remember meeting me?
No, really.
You don't remember? My goodness.
When was
you,
it?
You guys were doing the Red Room the same weekend I was doing the, huh?
Where were you?
I was doing the Blue Room. I was doing the I was there the whole weekend. Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And when it was like you guys were, it was something of comedy, and it was the girls one night and the guys one night, right?
So where did you guys meet? In the green room and the parking lot?
No, we met in the Red Room right before I had two shows and you guys had one. So I came in there and said hi to the lady from San Antonio and you and all of.
Ah, okay, yeah. So probably, yeah. I remember we were at the Red Room and people came to say hi to Irma. So probably we met back then.
Yeah.
I meet so many people in Dallas already every day. There were so many comedians.
That's got to be somewhat disappointing, CJ, that a woman. Does not remember meeting you. I mean, you know, you're a smooth black man. You're a handsome black man. You know what I mean? And she. We've been talking on
that. I remember they were like super busy. They had a nice crowd and everything. I just came through just to watch you guys. And they Flo Hernandez said that he's trying to get you some. You know, you were while you were there. So I mean, I understand. I mean, I'm terrible at names and everything else like that. I just stopped through and said hi between my shows. So yeah, I definitely would understand if you wouldn't. I'll cry later, but I mean it's cool.
Next time you see Flo Hernandez,
chicken nuggets.
Say hello.
Chicken nuggets.
Nuggets.
Our last story of the day, Japan asks China to stop performing anal swab tests for COVID on its citizens. So there are members of the citizens of Japan that live in China, and we're talking about racism within Asians, because the Chinese, you know, there's people that hate Chinese, Asian people, and vice versa. And, you know, so the Chinese are like, okay, when do we test the Japanese people? We don't stick up nose, we stick up ass.
You sound like Mr. Miyagi, so
yes, that's a more Japanese accent. But you know what I mean? So in other words, this is the culture. China says this is how we're going to test the Japanese. We're going to make them sit there, and then we're going to shove this Q-tip the size of a bowling ball up their ass and check for COVID. Meanwhile, these other Chinese people are just sticking up their nose. And the Japanese government saying, enough of this shit. Chief Cabinet Secretary.
I did hear about that. But, I mean, it's like we try to talk about these different cultures doing weird stuff. But then, I thought she was going to bring up the article, the story about the guy that got arrested in Florida for hanging on some street lights and shitting on cars as they went by.
What?
You never heard? You didn't see that? It was actually in the news today. I was cracking up.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
The guy is hanging from like an overpass.
Mm-hmm. No.
No?
The lights, the signals. He climbed up one of the ones thing and sat there on a light, like the red light, green light,
right.
Sat there and shit on cars as they passed like he was a bird.
Hilarious. I love that.
I will definitely send you that article, Doug, so you can talk about it next week.
First of all, to be able to get up on a street light, okay?
Yeah.
I have a hard time putting my pants on without falling down. So to be able to get on a street light is impressive. And then as you're up there, pull down your pants and be able to time the turd. Right, you have timing the turd as the you got to take in the speed of the car, you got to take in the action of your bowel, right?
Physics, baby.
Do you know? Have inside you? You know how many shits do you have inside you to do it?
I know. I'd hate to go up there, and then all of a sudden, sometimes you get all excited. You know, you don't have to go now. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if the guy was like sitting up there for like half a day, like, oh, I hope probably calls DoorDash to get some Taco Bell.
Yeah, maybe, you know.
I'm on the corner of 16th and Elm. Where? I don't see you. I look up, fucker. I'm sorry, I shit on you.
I love the fact that you thought that he would wait and pull his pants down later. Maybe he was already pantsless.
You would think that would probably be a smarter idea.
yeah.
But it's not like I've actually contemplated it. But now that you really think about it, you probably would be good. You probably the best thing, while we're thinking about it, probably the best thing would do is wear pants with the ass cut out, like some chaps. So mm-hmm. Kind of look like you have pants on until someone goes driving by, goes, hey, what is that guy? Oh, what the fuck? Turn the windshield wipers on.
Put it shit on top of nice cars, like you know, he will wait for the Porsche to shit on it. That would be funny, you know. Why would you shit in a Honda Civic? You know,
you wait for a convertible. You wait for a convertible.
Something like doing someone's day.
How disappointed would the guy be if he just shit like you said on some like Mazda, you know, B10 or something?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, some guy pulls up in a Lexus convertible. You know, he's like a caddy.
And he already gave his shit up on a shitty car.
I wasted my shit. So stupid. Damn, I got to take another shit. Oh my God! What a fucking
mess. I love the fact that you said that they're calling Taco Bell, because I definitely would give you the shits.
Oh my God, man! I miss it. But listen, this has got to be the worst. I mentioned to Luz before the show, we didn't have water. We had to shut it off because one of our faucets broke. So instead of it leaking all over the house, we had to shut down our water. But you know what a pain in the ass that you got to go like. We filled up some water in the bathtub before some bowls so that we could put it in the toilet bowl. Like when people don't realize this, I had a friend in college that didn't do that. We didn't have water. So I got jugs of water and I started putting it in the back tub, right? You put it in the can, in the, not,
I understand. In the back part of the toilet. Back
part of the toilet. He's like, oh, what are you doing? I thought you were just going to dump it in and let it flush. Because sometimes if you take the... I'm like, what do you want me to splash your shit all over the bathroom? What are you, a fucking idiot? You know, when you're born on a farm, you put it in the back container. And then now you have water in there. You flush it. It does its job. Why would you fucking throw the... You know? But you know that now, being without water for a long time.
Yeah, I feel it's so fun. I mean, it's funny now. It'll be funny when this shit's working again. But just the whole point of we're being in a first world problems and we're upset because we don't have fucking running water, you know?
Isn't it amazing how incapacitating it is? Like, when you think about all the things you got to do, I mean, you still can do it. But yeah.
I enjoy this, you know, to see a bunch of people living like they were in my country.
We're complaining to Liz about problems, and she's like, I call that a Tuesday, motherfucker. Yeah.
at least you got a real floor. I got dirt on my floor.
Yeah, it is weird, but it's just something that you're accustomed to. And like I said, it's just one of those things. It's like, shit, you pay all this money to be in a very nice house and be in a nice neighborhood, and this shit happens. So, yeah. I haven't been up to the point where I'm upset, where I'm like storming around or anything else like that, but it does get frustrating. But I mean, I'll live. I've been in worse situations.
I bet. Like I was telling Liz before, my wife usually fixes everything. She started fixing the faucet, and then great, you know, it's great. But then it got a little challenging, and then there were certain things there. So now we're out of water. So of course I'm pissed. I'm like, well, it's not worth it to me to save a couple $100 now to, you know, when I'm like Farmer Fred getting water from the fucking well so I could take a shit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'd rather have spent that $250 on a goddamn plumber already, you know, and it costs $700. So what are you going to do? Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank my guest, Luz Pazos, and of course, CJ Starr for joining me today.
Well, it was very nice to have to be on the show, and nice to meet you again, Liz. No, I'm just kidding.
It's funny you say that. My wife gets pissed because that happens a lot. My wife.
Weekend, so I can forget about you.
She's gonna come to Texas, and CJ is gonna be sitting in the groomer. He's like, "Hi, nice to meet you." See, that pisses my wife off. Like, a lot of comics have met my wife, you know, at shows and stuff, and they'll be like, "Oh, same. Hey, it's nice to meet you." I'm like, "You met her already, you fucking idiot." You know, like, because then I get to hear that guy's an asshole. You know, he met me like 10 times. Nice to meet you.
That's why if I ever meet your wife, I'm gonna meet her for the first time. The next time I meet her, I'll be like, "You don't look like the one I met before."
You know, this black guy think all Asian women look alike. There you go.
Thanks, man. I can't wait to work with you again, Doug. Man, it's been awesome, man.
Absolutely, dude. I got to get him to Texas. I've did the LOL comedy club in
it's owned by the Improv now. So,
oh, is it? But yeah, I'd love to come and by the way, yeah, and say hi to you guys out there. I'm gonna be Luz. I don't know if you're gonna. Oh, that's different. I'm gonna be in at the Cactus Comedy Special in Arizona at Stir Crazies. I got into that little festival. It's gonna be cool at the end of April. So
are you headlining?
It's a festival, so it's a contest and festival. Yeah,
good job, man.
I'm hoping to get in there, and you know, that's how. That's why you do the festivals, right? So you can get exposure to the club, and they hopefully they book you. So, but you guys are great. Anything coming up, Luz, you want to plug?
Yeah, Dallas this weekend, Hyenas, two shows, Michael Q's headlining, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday I'm headlining at Chicas Chistosas, Funny Girls, and Hyenas too.
I'm going to go up there and introduce myself again. And if you don't remember me this time, I'm shooting that place up.
Okay, let's do that.
CJ, anything coming up?
I actually am going to be at the Helium Club in St. Louis next weekend with Brad Williams. And then I'm going to be back here in Dallas. I got a few shows. They have a theater in Grapevine that I'll be at and everything. So I'm excited. And then we have a pop-up. I have a new thing called pop-up comedy, and I'll be in Deep Ellum. So it's a little bit out of town, then a couple local places.
Nice. This week I'll be in Port St. Lucie on Friday and Saturday. Friday, I'm going to be at Groucho's Comedy Club in Port St. Lucie. And Saturday, I'm going to be doing the LOL comedy. It's an urban show. I'm the only white guy on the show.
I've seen that flyer. It's the funniest flyer in the world. It looks like you're kidnapped. I've seen that flyer. I was cracking up.
It's supposed to be a roast for the guy Kevin. I'm like, Kevin, I don't know you, man. I can't roast you if I don't know you. You know what I mean? And so I'm just going to go up and do some acts and shit, whatever. But go to DougAlmeida.com for more dates. Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll have another new show all next week. And I wish you guys safety. Be careful out there in California, Luz. Right? Yeah. We don't want anybody coming to try to take your dogs, even though you don't have dogs, probably. And CJ, God bless. I hope you get some water soon.
I will.
And
take care, guys.
You guys stay well. Chris, back in the studio. We're ready to close this thing down.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen.
And guys, next week I'm going to have Jeff Gaitner, Tim Gaitner, who was at Hope headlining with me this weekend, or headline for us at Looney Bin. And I'm trying to remember who else is in there. Oh, fuck. Just watch the goddamn show. I'll post something. You know what I'm saying? Thanks, guys, for joining us. God bless. And we'll see you next time.
Peace, man. Bye.
Wake up! Wake up!